Welcome everyone to this week's Global Intelligence Update, and we've got a special guest with us today, Sir Paul Terwal. And if you don't know who Paul is, let me give you guys a quick introduction. So Paul Terwal is an international employability researcher. He calls himself the Global Engagement Explorer. He has been working as a speaker, consultant, and trainer for managers, HR directors, and employees for more than 25 years. He is a guest lecturer at Maastricht University, Masterwork, Health and Career, and Tilburg University. Core lecturer at NIDI, Dutch Institute for Sustainable Employability. He was the president of the Global Speaking Federation from 2019 to 2022, and is also the current president for the Virtual Speaking Association International. Not only that, Paul, as a speaker and consultant, helps organizations to improve their results by implementing sustainable employability strategies based on enthusiasm, shared core values, and a clear mission and vision. Enthusiastic employees are more innovative, creative, and productive, and make a major contribution to your results. Welcome, Paul. Very happy to have you here.
Chris, it's great to be here, and welcome to all the others as well.
Awesome. So, Paul, you'll be talking to us about how to create more energy in the work by knowing your non-negotiables. Yeah. And I have to ask, what are non-negotiables and how do they work?
Well, everybody has non-negotiables, and we like to call them core values. Because that's more in our minds. It's those values that you know by heart and by your gut feeling that they are very important to you and to your life and to your family. And I think it was about 15, 16 years ago that I met an American speaker called Sam Silverstein, and he said it's a non-negotiable. And I love that word much more because core values, oh, we can change our core values. But when it's a non-negotiable, you can't negotiate about it. It's who you are. That's Paul, that's Chris, that's Morpheus, that's who we really are. That's really the center of our life. And that's how we act, that's how we plan, that's how we do our business. So core values, non-negotiables are for me the basic in everybody's life and in everybody's business.
Well, yeah, you know, as everyone here knows, Circle of Excellence, Mike and Lundy also very strongly agree on that. Your core values is very important and your non-negotiable. So
yeah.
I think we really love this topic that we're going to talk about today. Then I also want to ask, how do you differentiate between personal and professional non-negotiables?
Well, if you are self-employed as I am, then it's the same because I can't change myself as an independent worker in what I do in business and what I do in private life. But if you work for a company like Shell, they will have their non-negotiables. And if you want to work there, you need to adjust to their core values or leave. So I'm always surprised that people go to work somewhere because they love the job, but they have no clue what the core values are of that organization. So you can only work in an organization if there is alignment between their non-negotiables and your core values. And if they are conflicting, there will be a conflict somewhere during the line. And that's what we see. People call in sick, but people have burnout, people have the biggest conflicts in their work. And when I look into it with psychologists and that kind of people that support me, I see it's most of the time a conflict between core values. And we should start every onboarding program with, hey, this is us. These are our core values. What are yours? And do you fit in? And if you don't fit in, try to find another job. And it sounds easy, because sometimes you need the money. And I'm totally aware of it, that sometimes you say, yeah, let's do it, and you'll walk in an organization. But be aware that sometimes it can hurt you mentally, physically. It can hurt your team. It can hurt the organization. So I love it, especially in Europe and America, that we have so many people wanted to work, that the employees can choose where they want to work. It's much more easy than 10 years ago. Then you were happy that you had a job. And I'm not harsh on those people. I can imagine what happens. Sometimes you need the money. Sometimes you need the job. It's around the corner. You do it. But accept that it can hurt your core values. That's what you accept.
I see Ian just left a comment. He said, yes, I love it. My organization values are also my values. That's awesome.
Yeah.
To touch on that, if you guys have any questions you'd like to ask Paul, please drop it in the chat, and then we'll get to it as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, Paul, you also mentioned that negotiables change. So can negotiables change? And then how can you identify these shifts?
Well, I think that there is a theory that it will never change. But I'm more human than that, so I think it will change. The older you get, the more experience you get, the in more situations you get during your life, you will change a little bit in your core values. You will make them more clear. I think that is a nice story, because it was in 2018 that I worked 4 days with Lundy and Mike in Cape Town, which was a very special period for me. And we were discussing on one of the mornings about my core values. And Lundy asked me, what is your core values? And I said, integrity. And she said, I don't believe you. And we had instantly a conflict. And they are my business coaches. And we had a conflict in the first hour we were traveling around. And she said, I don't believe you, because when we see with you work and we work with you, we see that you want to have all the information before you make a decision. So I changed integrity and transparency leading into integrity. And so you can find better words, better sentences, better lines that express your feelings much better than it did before. So yeah, of course they might change. And of course the core values of organizations might change. But I worked with companies that on a Friday afternoon, when they had a retreat somewhere, they said, oh, these are the new core values of our organization. And from Monday on, it will be on the intranet and the whole world will change. No. No employee will believe what is being said. So you can't change a core value of an organization without all the employees. And officially, you should commit every individual into it. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but it must be bottom up. And we say in Europe, from left to right, because here in our system, the board is on the right side and supporting all the employees towards their customers. So it's not top down anymore. It's from right to left. So if you want to change your core values, you need to discuss with all the professionals who are working with clients, what are our new non-negotiables and can you work with it? So if it changes slightly, it will work. If you have a new CEO, and we've all been to organization where a new CEO came in and ta-da, this is the new world. Well, nobody believes it. Not even the customers. So customers will leave because some, I call it idiots, changed the core values without talking to people. So yeah, can they change? Of course, but I see it more as development. I see it more as adjustment than change.
Okay. And then you also mentioned now customers and employees. So why are these core values important for people and their businesses?
If you want to sell anything, people need to know who you are. If I want to buy something or I want to work for an organization, I go to the website and I check where are your core values. And check it out on your own website and those of your customers. It's mostly somewhere hidden under the top called About Us. And then you see mission, vision, and core values. And then the picture of the CEO and the C-suite. It should be on the main page. If I go to your website, I need to see who you are and what you stand for. Because I go to your website because I know your product. I know what I want to buy. But I want to know who you are and do we align on core values? So I see more and more organizations putting their core values on the main page. And I can tell you, there is a building organization here in the Netherlands. And if you open the website, they said, we are a family company and these are our core values. And it's really big on the main screen. They have more people who want to work with them than all the other organizations in that area. Why? Because if I go to a building website, I know that I want somebody who can build my house. And then I see who they are and what they stand for. And it's amazing. It works. So if I go to the website of Shell, I need to fight to see their core values. Well, it should be wise if companies like Shell and Exxon and that kind of companies would finally get up and make clear what they stand for. Are they there to pollute the world and to kill us all? Or are they there to protect us? What is your choice? Because if you know your core values, you can make your choice. My slogan is, make your choice. But you can only make a choice if you know who you are and what you stand for. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's so normal to talk about core values, but everywhere you go, a lot of people have no clue. Of course, they feel what their core values are. Of course, they know it because we're all adults. We know what we want to achieve in our lives. But to put it on your website, to make it clear, that's quite hard. Because then people can hold you accountable for it and say, hey, this is what you said on your website. I see totally different behavior. Hey, come on, guy. What's it? Yeah, I see core values really help in decision making. Yeah, it's if you need to make a choice and you know what you stand for, it's much more easier to see all the different alternatives to say, oh, this one fits me right. So it helps you in your life. I even talked to a lady who helps people who have a problem in their relationship. And she started a discussion. People are married for 20, 25, 30 years. And then she starts the discussion. What are your core values? And those people are amazed about the core values of their spouse and say, oh, is that a core value of you? And then I think, you lived together for 25 years. You never discussed it. And that's amazing.
Yeah. I see we've got a question here from Philippe. He says, I was told to hire on belief too. Can you share your insights on the difference between core values and beliefs?
Oh, that's a nice one, Philippe. Thank you very much. You could have told me up front that you were coming with this question. That would have been nice. I think they are related. But I think that core values, most of the time, you have 4 to 5 that are most coming to you, and your beliefs can come out of those core values. And beliefs for me are more broader, can be more expanding on different issues than what my core values are. So maybe beliefs are more what you put to the outside, and your core values are your inside.
Okay.
And beliefs can change, because I traveled a couple of weeks ago to Iran on invitation to work there for a business school. And I had opinions and beliefs about Iran and Iranian people. I still believe that the top is wrong, but I love the people. And then you see that it isn't all black and white. And that's what Landy meant when she said, for you, transparency is more important than integrity. Because if you say integrity, it's black white. I'm not going to Iran because I hate those people. If you travel there, you work with people, you think, okay, maybe the political and the religious system isn't working, but there are still human beings there that are lovely to work with. And then you see it's more transparency. That's so you can change your beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, perception.
Yeah, so for those that are not on the video call, Stephanie just said beliefs are maybe based on perceptions. And Ian also has a comment here. I had the exact same experience when I did some work in Iran. They are wonderful people.
And that's always the case, because we can say Iran, but you can say Israel, you can say the United States of America, you can say South Africa, you can say the Netherlands. Of course, never Australia, because that's an amazing country. But the rest of the world, then we have an idea of who they are, what they do, what they pretend to be. And if you're there, that's why I call myself a global engagement researcher. I'm not an expert. I see too many speakers and consultants say, I'm a thought leader, I'm the expert. No, you're not. You know maybe 5% of what's to know. That's why I love to call myself researcher and explorer, because I don't know it all. And maybe that's because I'm 65 that you find out that you know less than you ever thought. But let's have more open-minded ideas that we want to explore. I can say, Chris, I don't like your core values, but I never explore them. So how can I have an opinion about you? How can I have a belief? So we need to explore first before we can make any statement. And with social media, we jump into conclusions and opinions, and I'm no longer on Twitter and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Paul, let's say you've now sat down with your coach or whatever the case may be, and you figured out your core values, your actual core values. What will be the result of knowing them?
Well, first of all, it's tiring to get to know them. Because as soon as you know what your core values are, and we went over them over and over again in 2018, 2019, again in French, and we discussed them. And if you are open about it, then you are vulnerable as well, because people can hold you accountable, as I said. People can say, hey, this is what you say, but do you really walk your talk? Do you really make that walk? And that makes it more exciting. So it's difficult, because you expose yourself, you expose who you are and why you do what you do. On the other end, I think it's more easier, because you can say, hey, this is my non-negotiable. This is who I am. Can I change my belief? Can I change my choice? Yes, I can. Can I change my core value? No, I can't. One of them, fun, is my fundamental. And it doesn't sound heavy or whatever. But whatever I do in my life, as soon as I notice that over a longer period of time, it isn't giving me energy to keep doing what I was doing, I will stop it. Because I believe in the job demand resources model, which is made by Dutch psychologists and it's used all over the world. It's about creating more energy than what you're doing is costing you energy. So you want to create more energy from your work, from your private life, to stay alive, to keep on going. And if I do stuff that is costing me a lot of energy, and I'm tired when I drive home and I thought, oh man, this was terrible again. It's about that again. Then fun is no longer my fundament. So I stopped that activity. I'm not doing it. And I can tell you, it cost me lots of money making that decision. But it gave me my self-respect. It gave me my energy. I could explain to a lot of people, hey, this is why I stopped, because it was hurting me and others. And yeah, if you have that core value, yeah, that can be a tough decision to make. And of course, you don't do it in 30 minutes out to drive and you say, oh, well, no, because it's your money, it's your income, it's your freedom. But I try to adjust it. I try to change it. But if I see that I had it last year with a business partner, we started on January 11, working together. January 26, we had our first fight, not a quarrel, a real fight. And it became almost physical from his side. And it went on till April, May, and I stopped it. And then I was again in South Africa. I don't know what South Africa is doing to me or Namibia, but when I'm there, I make that kind of decisions. And I said, I'm going to stop. This is not going to work for me anymore. And it's that distance that you have the time to sit down, to relax. And I thought, this is hurting me and my family. And then you should stop and make another decision and say, okay, let's move on. And life isn't easy after that decision because I lost a lot of money. And that's what we normally don't talk about. But you need to be honest, because if you're honest, others can help you. And that's what I try to do. If you know your core values, be open about it, tell your story, and move on.
And so we know, of course, that the core values and non-negotiables has a big impact on leadership. But what is the connection with leadership?
Oh, it's one-on-one. And you said leadership. I see a difference between management and leadership. Management is checking the boxes. Do we reach our KPIs? And if we don't, we are going to restructure, reorganize, kick people out, change products. If you have leadership, you look at your core values, your mission and your vision, and you stick to it. And you have open conversations with your employees. And you say, hey, this is what we wanted to achieve, and this is what's happening. How can I support you as leader for you to be able to create what we decided on? It's those professionals. Even the cleaning lady is a professional in her job. So we need to have words with the frontline, as we call it. The frontline are those people who work really with the customer. And most of the time we neglect what they experience. So a leader sits down with his employees, his professionals, and just asks, how can I support you to get to the result we want to achieve? And then that's leadership. And it should be based on non-negotiables only. So I think leadership is a new job, it's a new career. It's something different than being the best employee and becoming the manager of the team, because that's terrible, because you lose the best worker and you have the worst manager. So leadership is about human beings. So HR, I'm going to a company this afternoon where they still stick to HR, then we're talking about resources. We're not talking about people or human beings. We're talking about resources. We can replace them like I can replace my computer or my car or whatever. Nowadays, we need those human beings. So human beings development, that will be an amazing term. Human being an organization is lovely, because an organization only exists of human beings. And they have the same mission, the same goal, and leadership is there to support those people to reach those goals. And if we can't reach those goals, we need to have a discussion with the professional, say, what do you need? How can I support you? And it makes their work very easy, but very difficult. Because then you need to have an open discussion and stand for your decision. So leadership and core values are, for me, completely integrated. It's a one-on-one.
Okay. Well, when I did the introduction, I mentioned Sir Paul Tavol. And I have to say, you are so humble, because when I asked Paul to send me his description, you know, who is Paul, he didn't mention anything about any knighthood. And Paul, I really want to ask you if you mind sharing that story, you know, how you got knighted and your whole story behind it.
I must say it's because I have international friends who started working on it. My good friend is Lindsay Adams, and he has been active in the international speaking world for about 20 years. Founder of PSA Australia, president in 2010, 2011, when I, for the first time, met him in the beach of Amsterdam, as we call it. He was already the world president, and he inspired me to work internationally with speakers, because I all want us to become better professionals, whether you're a consultant, trainer, coach. We are professionals, and we need to know who we are and what we stand for and what we want to achieve. So Lindsay was knighted as knight in the Australian Order of Merit, which is the highest you can get from the Queen, now the King of the United Kingdom. He got it, and then he sent a message to my good friend Froa here in the Netherlands and said, well, do you have an equivalent in the Netherlands? He said, yeah, we do. And then it took 3 years, partly because of Corona, but they started it. And last year on April 26th, so almost a year ago, I was knighthood, I got my knighthood, and you, normally you are a member in the Order of Orange Nassau, but if you do international work, you become a knight or an officer. And so, yeah, officially I'm Sir Paul, but we are Dutch and we don't like to use that kind of stuff in front of your name. So, but it's an international recognition that I got, because I know people from South Africa had to fill in forms for me, Australia, the US, Canada. So yeah, it's humbling when you are there. And then it was broadcasted all over the world by Xtien de Waal, South African. And he said, well, we'll have live streaming. So our mayor of the city had to speak in English, which he's not used to do, but it was an international audience. So it, for me, that felt amazing. That was so humbling that you get that kind of stuff.
Wow. That's very inspirational, very cool. So if there's any other questions that you guys would like to ask, please pop them in the chat, or you can just unmute yourself and we can chat with Paul. Paul, is there anything that I missed that you'd like to add in?
Well, what I would like to do is as well, because you can use it to your clients as well, because is there any outcome if we have more engaged employees? So if we are know our core values, and I published a book, it's still in Dutch, but I found 16 items on which the results in an organization will be better. And Mike and Nandi helped me to create the top seven, and we call it the seven keys of talent management engagement. And if you like to have them, I will send it to you. Because when we are working on engagement and core values, what we see is that the outcome is much better for clients, and for that, for the team and for the individuals and for the organization. So profit goes up. Productivity goes up, sick leave will go down. And with almost 80%, the difference between a fully engaged and a disengaged employee is 80% less sick leave, but also about 40% less mistakes done in their business. And think about a hospital and the ICU, and people are not engaged and they make mistakes, it will cost our lives. So engagement is important for the result. What we saw, the well-being of employees will increase with about 60, 70%. So if we can work on engagement within an organization, the well-being of those people will go up, and with that, the well-being of their families. Mental issues will go down with about 50%. And it's the most important problem that we have in the world, all the focus on burnout and mental issues. What we see from research, it's not about my personal life, it's not about my work habits, it's not about 70 hours work, it's not about stress, it's about the lack of energy and recognition that I get in my work. So leadership can prevent that people have mental issues. And in Australia, you have a lovely program called Are You Okay? And it's an amazing program that people are wearing T-shirts in companies and just go to the coffee part and say, hey, are you okay? And it's an invitation to tell that person about your issues, whatever it is. And then there is an obligation for the company to support you. So engagement is connected to the results. So I think it's really amazing for the outcome. And like I said, sales go up, customer loyalty goes up with about 20%. That means that you will all have that experience. You want to call a company, an energy company, phone company, and you get into a call center. And most of the time you have to wait an enormous amount of time before they have time for you, and you have somebody who is really not engaged, really not happy in his work. I start the conversation about happiness at work. I'm not interested in buying a new phone anymore, because I notice that that person isn't happy in his work. Well, it's his responsibility and the responsibility of his leader to work on it. Because if I get somebody on the phone and said, hi, Paul, how can I help you? How's life doing? Then I'm much more into buying their products than if they say, yeah, what can I do for you? So for sales, for the organization, for customer loyalty, it's very important to have engaged employees. So it's not something that we say, oh, it's a hobby. Paul has a hobby and it's called engagement. No, it's there for the well-being of the organization, of the group of people that work there. And I have a beautiful slide made by Lundy in 2018 already, and I still use it. And it's the seven keys of talent management engagement. And we call it the ROI, and we call it ripple of impact. It's now not about the return on investment. We know by research by Oxford and Harvard that if you put $1 into engagement, $4 will come out. But the ripple of impact is much more important. If I invest in human beings, their lives will be much better. So it's not only the person, the team, the company, but also the customers and Earth. So it's much more important to work on it. Do I sound like Dumbledore, Morpheus? He called me Dumbledore in 2020. Yeah.
You do have that wisdom.
Thank you very much.
Paul, we've got a question here from Philippe. He asks, is it an act of leadership to broadcast your non-negotiable values to the world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If a leader, if you are invited to a television show, a podcast, whatever, and I'm representing a bank, an insurance company, Shell, Exxon, I need to show the world what our non-negotiables are. If not, I'm not believing your story. Because then you're talking about profit and the results and the financials and blah, 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 and what you're going to do to make the shareholders happy. No, it's about stakeholders. And we are stakeholders. So I want to know who you are, what you stand for, what you want to achieve. And some people say mission comes before vision. I don't care. As long as I know you have thought about the future, you have thought about your core values, and from that comes a strategy. From the strategy, you make plans. And if you make a plan that is hurting your core values, you should stop immediately and say, we made a mistake. It happens. We're all human beings. And I see too many CEOs, people that are in the top of an organization, and we call it the right side of the organization. Otherwise, you can't push the people into the future. They make mistakes and they're not willing to admit it. And I think, and that's why you are here, because that's the circle of excellence and that's what we are all about. To have that open mind that we are willing to say, okay, that wasn't good. Sorry, guys, I made a mistake. Will you help me to do it in a better way? How great does it sound if you tell your employees, whether you have 5, 1,000, 10,000, and you say, we made a mistake, we should stop this and move on in a different way, and are you willing to support me? Then I embrace those people and I embrace my core value. And people will love it. But you need to be vulnerable. And that's something in the Western world we forgot about.
Awesome. Is there any other questions from the live listeners?
There was something about Sam asking for the 7 P's.
The 7 keys.
Keys, yeah.
I see. Yeah, 7 P's. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I will send them this slide to Chris, and he can send it on. And I have an article about it where I explain it in relation to core values. And the funny thing is that we always think that return on investment is only in money. And the last 4 or 5 years, because when I started this in 2018. There wasn't any research. There was not that many research on engagement. And Gallup is doing it. And if you want to know more for free, go to the Gallup website and just download everything they have, because it's really amazing what they give away for free. If you see what's happening with engagement is going down worldwide. And fully disengagement is going up. And if you want to be successful, you need to have 1.5 times more people engaged than disengaged. Well, in Europe, we have an average of 13%, 13% engaged employees. and 18% fully disengaged employees. That means that we have more people being behind the car than in front of the car. So we're not moving in the right direction anymore because we're stuck. If you go to the US and you go to Costa Rica and you go to Vietnam, engagement is about 35%, but the disengagement is 25%. Still, there is more engaged people than fully disengaged people. And I think we need to be aware of that situation. So we need to work on the front. 10 years ago, I had a carriage drawn, people in front, people behind, and people on the car. That are the satisfied people. And those are the people who say, I go to work in time, I leave in time, get my money in time, I'm quite happy. Those are the people that we need to make engaged and get in front of the car. And that's the easy part to do. Don't focus on the fully disengaged people. They have different core values. They don't fit in. Don't make them ill or fire them, but help them on a new career and say, you don't fit in here. Let's find a new job for you, because then they still are ambassadors of your company. But focus on those people that are in the front seat. And if I talk to psychologists, positive psychologists, they know it. They believe it. They don't do it. You see, psychologists are always busy on curation of people that have mental issues. And I want to focus on the positive side, which is positive psychology, which is working from energy, working how can we stimulate that people have more energy to do their work. And that's so much more rewarding, because if you have a group of 10 people and one understands it and wants to work that way, then you have done your job. That's why I'm still busy.
Ian, I see you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I've got a question about the number of core values, because I've worked with organizations that have got 6 or 7, and anytime I ask anybody, they can't remember them all.
No.
In fact, sometimes they struggle if it's 5, but if it's 4 or 3, everybody remembers them. Yeah. So I don't know. For me personally, I only have 3, and it really, really works for me. So.
Yeah, if you look at science, it says 3 to 5. That's the best thing to have, and then you can implement. And like you said, I work for an insurance company, and I still have the picture, but they forbid me to use that picture because I came into their main hall, and they had 10 words on the wall. And lovely words, and I could read them, but I didn't know what it meant for them. So I asked the first employee I saw and said, hey, what are those words and what do they mean? He said, no clue. Those were the 10 core values of that insurance company. So what you like to have is that somebody wakes you up during the night and says, what are your core values? That you know exactly what your private core values are. And it would be nice if you can mention 2 or 3 of the company's core values. That means that we need to be trained to know exactly what the core values are. And that means that you need to walk your talk. And that's why I always use the Camino walking to Santiago as my referral. That I say, well, if you walk 800 kilometers, then you have time to think about what's going on in your life. And that was the starting point for me 10 years ago to be aware, hey, we have non-negotiable, and some call it religion and other spirituality or whatever. I don't mind, but it's there. And we need to find it. And we blocked it for many decades, and now it's coming back. And you can do it in your office, you can do it everywhere, but you need to learn them. So for me, Ian, 3 to 5, that would be amazing. And train your people. Oh, lovely. I see a lovely picture. Yeah, that's the Camino, Philippe. That's on the meseta between Burgos and León. I see it immediately. And I want to go there again and as soon as possible. If you take the time to reflect on who you are and what you want to achieve, that's not soft. I think it's a strength. Ian.
So I have a related question to the number, and that is the communication about them, because I've found that a word can mean five different things to five different people. And so what do you have a sort of specific way that you like to do it? For example, if it's a single word, do you then have a descriptor sentence behind it? Or what is your best approach to that?
Well, like I said, I first had transparency leading to integrity. And then you have integrity. If you search the internet, 70% of the businesses have integrity as a core value. So it doesn't mean anything. So I like to have a sentence behind it that explains it to you and to me what we mean by it. Fun as fundament, it's quite clear because it's my fundament. It's the word comes back. Another one is my family is my central focus. It doesn't mean that they come first. It means that I will always get back to them. And especially in the years that I travel so much, you can say, oh, they come first. No, they don't, because you're away for 20 weeks a year. No. I have one word that's number four, and that's the basic of all my core values, and that's loyalty. And that's something you need to explain, because we can all have a different feeling, and then I explain it, because loyalty is close to naivety, that you don't choose the right people like I did with my partner last year. I was loyal to him. He didn't know that word. And then you see that there is a conflict immediately. So I agree with you. If you use one word, make a sentence that explains it for you, that has that intense feeling from your side, and people can relate to it. Yeah. And I think if you have a company, it should be on every meeting that you have, and you don't need to discuss them all, but use a casus from that situation, that period before, and say, hey, we had this issue and this relates to this core value, and that's why we made that decision. So explain to people why you make a decision. And that's what leadership is all about, because sometimes I don't get why people are making choices. I see so many reorganizations that I don't know where I fit in anymore because I'm in the next reorganization. Explain to people why it is and how it's connected to your core values. And that's where I see that directors, C-suite, CEOs fail. They make a decision, tell it on the internet. This is it. You should be on stage telling why you made that decision. And then I can disagree with it, but that says something about my core values. So the organization can say, this is the best for us. And it can mean that you say, but that's not good for me. Well, then it's time to move. And I think most of us made that decision once in our lifetime that we said, I want to be independent. I want to be a professional and I want to be a solo worker, because we didn't like to fit in anymore. That's a problem with us.
Yeah, no, very well explained. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ian. Great questions. Philippe says, thank you, Paul. Great session today. It's an amazing definition of leadership. And Heather also responded and said, love the session. Thank you so much. So important to make the connection between personal and business core values. So your work is the vehicle to express your core values.
Yeah. I think that's totally true, Heather. It's the way you tell your story. And you have the white wolf, I think, behind you. I have the white lion. And that's Neptune. And he is in the lion sanctuary close to Cape Town. And we visited there in 2018. And then 2019, we did a session in France. And Mike did some reflection exercise. And we were thinking and needed to think. And he was telling a story for going down into a cave. And Londi asked me, were you alone? And I said, no, I wasn't alone. And she said, who was next to you? I said, the white lion, Neptune. And since then, it's my totem. And if you have that kind of feelings, then you know that it's connected to you, to your core value, and you need to work from that feeling. And I'm afraid that 60, 70% of the people in the world have no connection with their core values. And that scares me a little bit, because then you can't connect with who you are. So I think that what we did in the last 50, 60 years or 100 years got us away from our core values into something that was money-driven and no longer emotion or core value-driven.
See, Heather's got a hand up.
Paul, I don't know if you've read this book by Linda Tucker. I've shared the link in the chat, and she's written a book called Lionhearted Leadership, The 13 yeah. Laws. And she works at the white, she does amazing conservation around white lions. And
beautiful. I will look for the book. The point is, it's always that if you are more aware of your core values, you go into the deeper layer. And if you see the picture of Philippe, it's one of those areas in walking the Camino that you have to walk for 27 kilometers in the heat or in the cold, because it's either 30 degrees or 5. There is nothing, just that road. And if you want to be confronted with yourself after already being on track for 10 days, make that day, because you have to walk 27 kilometers before you will get the first spot where you can sit and drink. It's reflection time. And that's the most beautiful part. So, and you can do it in any way you want to do it, but it's different.
Awesome. Oh, thank you, Paul, for being here with us today and sharing all that knowledge and insight. I think we really took quite a lot out of that.
And thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you to everyone that's here live and to those that are listening offline or watching offline. We'll see you guys again next week with another great session. Thanks again, Paul. And bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.